Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman who was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So, how many weeks are there left until school starts? Don't even talk about it. They're not happy to go back to school, guys, just so you know. Well, don't worry. I'm not going to talk about school and remind you of it anymore. So, in the scripture lesson today, Luke was talking about a woman that Jesus healed. Do you remember what she was healed from? Apparently not. She was bent over. She had was crippled and was bent over for 18 years. Now, how many of you are even close to being 18 yet? Brian, how old are you? 17. And he is getting close. He fooled me, though.
You're in church, Ryan.
All right. So I want everybody to stand up for a second. All right. Now I want everybody to bend over and look down at the ground. Yeah, this hurts a little bit, doesn't it? And this is what that woman was like. It said she was bent over and she couldn't straighten up for 18 years. Okay, so you guys can sit down. Now, Abby said it hurt just for those couple seconds. Imagine being like that for 18 years. You're not that old either. So Jesus healed her after 18 years. And a lot of the people were really excited to see that she was healed. But there was also some people that were in the synagogue that day that were a little bit upset with Jesus because he had healed her on the Sabbath. And you weren't supposed to do any work on the Sabbath whatsoever. But Jesus told them that they even take their animals and they give them drinks on the Sabbath because they need to drink every day. Just like you need to drink every day and eat every day. And so he said that isn't it so much more important that this woman be healed on even if it is on the Sabbath because she is so much more important than these animals. Jesus recognized that this woman was special and very important to God and to the people, and that she needed to be healed from her crippling state that she was in. So let's bow our heads and pray that we always remember that people are so much more important. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to come down and heal each and every one of us in all the ways that we need it. We pray that we can remember that your people are the most important thing in this life, Lord, and that you care about them and want to heal them from everything that troubles them, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. One more thing before we get candy. Hold on. It's all right. Children's church. There is no children's church this week or next week, but after school starts, we're going to start back up with children's church. And there is still Sunday school after church, but there's no children's church right now. So 2 weeks from now, they'll start back up with children's church for kindergarten, first, and second graders. So right after school starts. All right. Thank you for handing that out.
Today, let's do Benjamin Franklin. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. Okay, listen to your teachers.
Love you.
Love you.
It's a good life. It's a good.
It's a good life.
Mommy. Mommy. Mommy.
I'm coming.
Mommy, it hurts.
Oh, no.
It hurts.
When Anna got sick, I just couldn't understand it. Why was this loving little girl going through this?
I think your daughter is lactose intolerant.
Acid reflux.
Everything looks okay.
Everything's fine.
Everything is not fine. There's something wrong with our little girl.
Mrs. B, you need to calm down.
I'm not leaving this hospital until I know what's wrong with my daughter.
Unfortunately, the tests confirm that she's very ill. There is currently no cure for Anna's condition.
Doctor, please. This is our little girl.
I'm scared, Mom.
Me too. We're not giving up.
Like a small boat on the ocean.
We need a solution. We need it now.
And we'll get it.
How?
By not losing our faith. Like how a
single one. How long have you been married?
14 years.
Free her from this. I might only
have one back. Can you even hear me? I can make an explosion.
This is my fight. You're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right, and it didn't kill her, and it didn't paralyze her. It healed her.
Yes.
Well, that's impossible.
This is a little hard to believe. There's a lot of people out there that are just looking for publicity.
A lot of people think we're crazy.
You either roll with it or you get rolled on.
Told me I'd be fine.
Who told you you'd be fine?
Now, we just saw the trailer for Miracles from Heaven. And if you hadn't had a chance to see it, it's the plot in a nutshell was right there. There's a tragic diagnosis of a very sweet little girl, and then the miracle of her healing. And the ending gives us all hope for the future. We all love those kinds of stories, especially when they are based on true stories, as that one is. Now, our lesson for this morning continues in the Gospel of Luke, where we've been spending our time these last weeks. And this story is part tragedy, but it ends with such great hope. Luke is the only gospel writer who records this event in the life of Christ. But I'm figuring that Luke, being a physician, would have been drawn to a story like this. He doesn't go into a lot of detail. In only three verses, he tells us that there was a woman who was a hunchback. We don't know her name. You know, we don't know her family background. We know that she's had this condition for 18 years. And the implication is that she wasn't born with it. You know, we can speculate that she had some kind of a deficiency or an injury. You know, we just don't know. What we are told is that a spirit has crippled her and that Satan has kept her bound for 18 years. Jesus called her over and he said, "Woman, you're set free from your infirmity." And we're told that she suddenly stood straight up and began praising God. You know, in the modern day American church, we are not comfortable talking about spirits. We talk about the Holy Spirit every now and again, but only on a very, very limited basis because he's been known to do things that are very uncomfortable for us. But we have to face the fact that Jesus himself said that a spirit, not the Holy Spirit, so then some evil spirit, in some way is responsible for this woman's tragic circumstances. Pay attention to that fact. Remember, in Scripture it says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 6:12. You know, if we remember that, we have a far better perspective on life. When we remember that there is a battle raging in a realm that we cannot see, and that that battle is to destroy us, it helps us to wage war against the forces of evil. But if we take a closer look at this story, there are spirits, there are other spirits at work. And I just thought we'd take a brief look at them this morning. There is the crippling spirit that is at work in this woman's life. Now, because of her particular ailment, she was all bent over and her eyes were facing the ground. You know, that means that she missed the sky, she didn't see the birds, she didn't see people's faces. But physical limitations can do a whole lot more than bend our back. It can rob us of our jobs. It can take away our families. It can cause severe depression. Sickness, real sickness, totally changes a life. It rearranges our priorities. Sickness, real sickness, does something else. It causes us to dwell on ourselves. And when we are dwelling on ourselves, we are not impacting the world for Christ. We are not reaching out for the kingdom. I think the enemy of our souls is very pleased with our American preoccupation with our health. We are consumed with our aches and pains. We've become so wrapped up in stubbing our toe that we are largely ineffective to the world around us. Now, what's so disturbing, though, about the synagogue ruler is that he is totally calloused about this woman's situation. Did you pick up on that? Now, sure, he had truth on his side. Healing was work, and it shouldn't be done on the Sabbath. But Jesus had a greater principle on his side, and that was compassion. Compassion trumps rules, even the Sabbath commandment. That's the reason that Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, you hypocrite, do you not take care of your animals on the Sabbath? Isn't this woman, a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of the covenant, more valuable than they? Now, what Jesus was saying is that restrictions, laws, rules, and institutions can, if we are not very careful, keep us from doing what Jesus calls us to do. It is never inappropriate to express compassion. Love God, love your fellow man, and then basically kind of toss out those 635 Old Testament laws. The first evil spirit attacked the woman. She was physically bent over. She was in bondage. The second evil spirit attacked the synagogue ruler. Only it didn't attack him physically. It affected him spiritually. It crippled his soul, and he was in bondage. Listen to the details that Luke gives us. He tells us this was the Sabbath, and that's really the key to understanding what's going on here. He tells us that the woman had had her condition for 18 years. Both of those points are really important. I'll get to it. Now, what Luke was saying is, this is not an emergency. It was the same with the man who had the withered hand that Jesus also healed on the Sabbath. That man had been born with his condition. It easily could have waited until the next day, as could have she. Both of these cases were not emergency room situations. They both could have waited until the next day. On the other hand, think about this. If Jesus had healed a child who had been brought into the synagogue, who was burning up with fever, who was in immediate danger of dying. Even the synagogue ruler could have understood healing that child at that moment. It would have made perfect sense, even to the synagogue ruler. But that wasn't the point. You see, this was a test. Jesus was purposely in your face breaking Old Testament law to make a point. And that point was, people are more important than rules. Occasionally, we need to be reminded of that. Now, this synagogue ruler did not see, he didn't see it that way. You know, I mean, he just didn't see it that way. But what he had done is he had elevated the law above the needs of the woman. Once you make anything more important than people, you can do anything you want without feeling guilty about it. Two things happen when you have a legalistic spirit. Your rules rule you. You become consumed with them. And your rules become more important than the well-being of others. If you take a human being and if you tell them they are not worth anything, if you tell a human being they are worthless, they will live their lives like they are worthless. You tell a child that they are not valuable, that they are not worth anything, they will grow up and live their lives that way. They will live their life like they aren't worth anything. But then you let somebody like Christ come along who says, you're worth something. There is a great plan for your life. You just have to care about what it is. And suddenly, we realize that we are sons and daughters of Abraham, that we are God's chosen people, and that we are not screw-ups, that we are awesome, and we live our lives accordingly. We live in a culture that is very good at dehumanizing us. And when we allow that to happen, we lose sight of just how valuable we are to God. Now, as far as the synagogue ruler was concerned, the hunchback woman was not worth very much. The Mosaic law was more important than any woman, let alone a disfigured one. Now, the fact is that the woman was physically disabled, but the synagogue ruler was disabled even more by a legalistic spirit. He had lost balance in his life. Nothing can choke the heart and soul out of our walk with God than legalism. Now, I am the first person to say that a Christian ought to be disciplined, because we just should be. But when we become rigid in our beliefs, it is a definite sign that the disciplines of the Christian life have crippled us. Now, that doesn't mean that we do not need rules of faith and practice. We do. What it means is we cannot become unbalanced, and that those rules cannot rule us. That's what that means. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, this brings us to a different spirit at work in this story. It's the Holy Spirit, the giver of joy. Now, remember the scene. You have Jesus. He's been invited on the Sabbath to address this congregation. You have the congregation. You have the synagogue ruler, and he's off to the side. You know, he's invited Jesus, okay? Then you have the congregation, and they have heard so much about this young man from Nazareth. I mean, they are pumped. They're so excited. They packed out the synagogue. Everybody came that doesn't usually can't come, because they wanted to hear him speak. Okay, that's the scene. Stage is set. Enter this disabled, frail woman that everybody knows. Everybody knew her. They call her maybe behind her back. They call her the cripple, probably say some unkind things about her. Luke doesn't even name her. She's a hunchback. She doesn't even go to Jesus. She sneaks in the back. Jesus sees her, and he calls out to her. She's trying to get small in the back of the synagogue. Jesus calls to her, and he calls her up to him. Okay? She's healed. He says, You're healed. After 18 years, she's freed from bondage. Now, I am really convinced that everybody there wanted to jump and shout for joy. I mean, it's just human nature. Everybody wanted to leap up praising God, not just her. I mean, people wanted to hoot and holler in the synagogue. But the ruling authority shut that down. And I think that's a darn shame. Because sometimes you just have to hoot and holler with joy about what God has done. Because of a healing, or because of an accomplishment, or because of a victory. Sometimes you just have to shout thank you to God. Never count people out. If they are sick, heal them. If they're down on their luck, help them. If they're not up to a job, teach them. If they have a burden, lift it. If they have failed, encourage them. Jesus gave this woman what no one else could. He gave her a whole body. He healed her. Now, let's just be real. There is no way that the synagogue ruler could have healed this woman's back. Okay, that was outside of his ability. But you know what he could have done? At the very least, he could have showed her some kindness and respect. At the very least, he could have treated her like a human being. At the very least, then, he could have celebrated with her when she was healed. And I think that's the lesson that God would want us to learn. You know, none of us are Jesus, no matter how hard some of us try to fix other people. And we always crash and burn. You'd think we'd learn. None of us are Jesus. There was only one. We are not him. But we can treat each other with kindness and respect. And we can treat each other as sons and daughters of Abraham. And we can treat each other like we have value in the eyes of God. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit will pour joy into our hearts. And it will leak out onto everyone that God puts in our path. You know, the bottom line is, there are evil spirits in this world. That's just a fact. You have to ask yourself a really hard question this morning. What spirit is at work within you? Is it a crippling spirit? Is it a legalistic spirit? Is it a critical spirit? Is it a lascivious spirit? Is it a fearful spirit? I could go on and on. If it is, it is not the Holy Spirit. If it is other spirits, you can pray to be delivered. And when you pray to be delivered, and when Jesus sits on the throne of your heart, that's when the joy comes. That's when the peace comes. That's when the contentment comes. And that's when the miracles from heaven come. And we could all use one. Whichever spirit is at work in your life will determine how your life is going. It will determine the living of your days. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you know, sometimes we get blindsided and we look up and we see our joy is gone. We pray right now that you would give us a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. We pray against any other spirit that might be working in our lives, and we pray that you would clean our house, inside our bodies and our homes and everywhere we go, and that your Holy Spirit and your Holy Spirit would be the only spirit functioning in and around us. We pray it, Father God, knowing that by the blood of Jesus, it is so. Amen.